Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Let me remind you that we are in the most and final important chapter of the Quran. Not in our study, but in the Quran, because we are still in chapter 9. Which is the last revelation Muhammad claimed to receive from Angel Jibreel. You see, Muslims love to quote for us the early chapters of the Quran, which we call the Makki chapters. But the best way to contrast their lies with the final truths of the ideology, the belief and the practice of Islam, is we must know what was the final words of Allah. What was the final commands of Allah? Did I tell my son to go out and cut the grass? Yes, I did. It was beautiful day, sunshine, and everything was great. A little bit later, when the rain came down, I asked my son to stop cutting the grass. Why? Because of the different circumstances. Now, what command my son must obey? Cutting the grass or not cutting the grass? Obviously, he is a smart young man, and to be obedient to me, he must obey the final command. Yes, we see in the Quran many commands, which maybe you can feel from it some kind of kindness, something of doing good, something of make you feel like, well, we are really in the interfaith mood where Jews and Muslims and Christians and Sabaeans and idol worshippers and all the people of Mecca can get along. All that was good when Muhammad was weak without many followers. But when the right time came and now Muhammad has the upper hand, meaning he has thousands of followers who are willing to die for the sake of Allah, who are willing to obey the new commands of Allah, now we can no longer go to the early verses of the Quran. We have to obey the final words of Allah. So whenever you meet with a Muslim and that Muslim quote you any verses of the Quran, I don't care what it is, if you cannot see blood in that verse, if you cannot see the word jihad or engage in war, beheading or crucifying, cutting hands and legs from opposite side, and on with the barbaric savage teachings of the Quran, just look at that Muslim man or woman and say, excuse me, this is very nice of the Quran. Then boldly tell them, you see, Abu Ubaidah, the great Muslim scholar, told us that all the soft early verses of the Quran have been abrogated by the new commands of the Quran, which teaches killing and invading. You see, Muhammad practiced these soft verses when he was living in Mecca, even in the early months in Medina. But later, Muhammad must obey the final command of Allah. Yes, indeed, Muslims have to follow the final command of Allah, the final decision of how Allah wanted his cult, the cult of Islam, to spread all over the world. That is what we call Quran chapter 9. As a matter of fact, Quran chapter 8 and Quran chapter 9 are what Muslims ought to believe and practice, especially when they do have the upper hand. In our last program, I quoted for you all the bold statements from which we learned what was the major ideology of Allah in his final chapter. This is the final command which Allah ordered Muhammad and Muslim believers to believe and to practice. Don't forget, in our last program, we talked about the opening statement in the name of Allah, the Merciful, the Merciful. And we discovered that that is the only chapter in the Quran which that statement is no longer there at the beginning of the chapter. Why? Because Allah is no longer merciful. Allah and Muhammad are the ones who changed their minds and broke their covenant with the infidels of Saudi. Obviously, none of the Christians or the Jews or the polytheists who lived in Mecca knew Allah or saw Allah or heard from Allah. Allah never communicated with them in any way, shape, or form, but Allah used his messenger, Muhammad, to make these deals. What deals? The covenants. What covenant? That we'll have bond, we'll have an agreement. I will not harm you and you do not harm me. How? By not engaging in war with me or aiding anyone who will engage in war with me. A little bit later, Muhammad used that covenant to twist it and actually say, if you do not join me and help me to engage in war with my enemy, then you are my enemy. And that's exactly what Muhammad did, for example, with the people of Banu Qurayza. Those who chose to be neutral concerning Muhammad's wars in Mecca. After all, Banu Qurayza were Jewish people. So why a Jewish people will join Muhammad to kill other Jewish people? Well, Muhammad did not like their decision, and he actually wiped them out, beheading between 700 to 900 Jewish men and taking their women and their children as concubines and slaves, as stated in Quran chapter 33, verses 26 and 27. But for now, let's continue with what we read in the opening few verses of Quran chapter 9. In verse 1, we read, Allah and His Messenger are innocent from the polytheist with whom you have a covenant. Excuse me. Who's speaking here? Allah. Speaking to who? Speaking to Muhammad. Announcing what? Here's the announcement. I and my messenger are innocent, which means we no longer hold to the covenant. What covenant? The covenant of peace, which Muhammad made with many of the Jews and Christians and idol worshippers and others who live in Mecca. But then Allah said, with whom you have a covenant. So Allah here is speaking to Muhammad. A little bit confusion here, because how can Allah and Muhammad declare something where Allah speaking to Muhammad about what Muhammad did? That's exactly what I said earlier. Muhammad is the one who made the covenants with all these people groups. Allah did not do any covenants. Allah never met these people, and those people never heard or saw Allah. But here is the good advice, which Muslims do not understand. And sadly, the people of the West also do not understand. The four forbidden months. What is the four forbidden months? These are the 4 months which was kept in the old tradition, what used to be before Islam, where all the Arab made a covenant and they kept that covenant until Allah and Muhammad broke that covenant. What was this covenant is all about? It was about people live in peace and harmony for 4 months every year. You cannot retaliate or invade in these 4 months. You cannot kill even those who killed your own father or your own brother during these 4 months. That is when Arab put all the weapons of war away until the end of the 4 months, and then people can retaliate and people can kill. Why is that? Because otherwise people will not be able to do business. You see, the caravan who travel from one city to another use these 4 months to do business without being worried about being attacked. So listen to what Allah said in verse 2 of Quran chapter 9. So travel in the land 4 months and know that you will not hinder Allah, and that Allah will shame the infidels. You got 4 months to travel, and these are the last 4 free months to travel. This is it. Because after that, in simple words, if I catch you, I will kill you, and I will take everything you got, including your wife and your children. In verse 3, and the announcement from Allah and His Messenger to the people on the bigger pilgrimage day that Allah and His Messenger are innocent from the polytheist. So if you repent, so it will be better for you. But if you turn away, so know that you will not hinder Allah. And gave the good news to those who became infidels with a painful torment. Few important facts I'd like to catch your attention here. Once again, it is Allah and Muhammad. Or we can say just simply, it is Muhammad. Because once again, nobody have seen, heard, touched, smelled, or know anything about that Allah, the God of Muhammad. What is the announcement here? That Muhammad is innocent. Once again, forget about the covenant I had with you. Kiss it goodbye. If I catch you after these 4 months, I will kill you. So it's not actually travel and have fun and have freedom. It is actually, I can say, run for your life. Find a place to hide far, far, far away from where you're at, because this is the end of your freedom or your liberty. Except if you repent. What is repent here? Repent here is simply to convert to Islam. That is submit to Allah and Muhammad. So in simple words, if you convert to Islam, you're a free man. Your life is protected by Muhammad. Your blood and your possessions will be saved from Muhammad's hand and his followers. Otherwise, you will see nothing but the sword of Islam, as we're going to see in verse 5. And Allah is telling it here in a way to see that it's not actually just a promise. It's a threat. Listen to what Allah said. So if you repent, so it will be better for you. Have you ever talked to your children about doing something and they will not do it? And you say, you better do it. What do you mean you better do it? It's for your own good. No, if you don't do it, there's a spanking coming up. There's a punishment coming up. That is exactly what Allah meant by these words. So if you repent, so it will be better for you. But if you turn away, if you do not accept Islam, so know that you will not hinder Allah. Allah is bigger. Remember, Allahu Akbar. You cannot hinder Allah. And then we talk about the good news. As normal, Muhammad used the word bashir, which is the word gives the good news, all over the Quran without knowing what does the word bashir means. Other translators put that word to be so announce. What do you mean announce? Oh, tell them. Excuse me. That's not the word ikhbar, but the word we have in the Arabic is bashir. Bashir come from the word bishara, which is good news. That is actually the word gospel in the New Testament. The good news of Jesus. Not the good announcement of Jesus. No, the good news. What is the good news? He died and he was buried and he rose again. And through his blood, we can be forgiven and be set free. And we will have eternal life. So what we have here in the Quran is Muhammad used a word from the Greek language without knowing what exactly means. And here we go. He used it in the wrong way. Listen again what he said. And give the good news to those who became infidels. When he hears that, wait a minute. Some good news will come to the infidels? Yes. What it is? Listen. With a painful torment. That's exactly what I'm telling you. Muhammad does not know what the word bashir means. And sadly, even those so-called scholars who translate the Quran, they lied on purpose and they say announce or tell. No, it's not about telling the news or announcing news, about giving the good news, which is the painful torment.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Let's move on to Quran chapter 9, verse 4. Except for the policies with whom you made a covenant. Wait a minute. I thought Allah said that he is innocent of the people whom Muhammad made covenant with. Allah broke that covenant. It's no longer viable, which means it's like was never written. So what about the people who Muhammad have a covenant with, and under this exception, then they do not feel anything of you. They cannot help your enemy to fight against you. And that is exactly what we read in the following portion of that verse. That is when Allah said, nor aided anyone against you. As a matter of fact, as I said earlier, in the case of Bani Qurayza, they must help you to kill your enemies. Imagine with me, Muhammad won't like to use the Jewish people of Medina to kill the Jewish people of Mecca, which obviously should never ever take place. Continue with verse 4, we read, so fulfill to them your covenant through their time. Surely Allah loves the fear. And I love how Muslims in the West love to give their own interpretation to that portion. You see, Allah and Muhammad did not break any covenant. It is the Jewish people who broke the covenant. It is the Christian people who broke the covenant. It is the idol worshiper who broke the covenant. Excuse me, why? Because this, listen, brother Islam, Allah said, so fulfill to them your covenant through their time. What is the time? Whatever time Muhammad had with them in the covenant. 10 years, 20 years, excuse me. The longest covenant Muhammad made was 10 years. And he did it after he migrated from Mecca to Medina. And he actually broke it earlier than the 10 years. That's when Muhammad came back, invade the city of Mecca. Simply because Allah changed his mind and gave Muhammad Quran chapter 9, verse 5, the new command. What do Muslim scholars say about the interpretation of that verse? Did they say that Muhammad honored his covenant with them for the rest of the 10 years? That is the lie which Muslim would love to make us in the West believe. When in reality, it was still the 4 months or even less. Remember what Allah said in verse 2? So travel in the land 4 months. That's not 4 years. That's simply 4 months. And the proof is, wait until we get to verse 5, the verse of the sword. Verse 4 ended, surely Allah loves the fear. Which one? The Jewish fear? The Christian fear? The Palestinian fear? Or the Muslim fear? Obviously, Allah does not love the infidels, but Allah only loves the Muslim fear. Now we come to Quran chapter 9, verse 5, which states, so when the forbidden months are passed, whoa, what forbidden months? These are, once again, the four forbidden months which all the people of Mecca and the Saudi Arabia Peninsula have an agreement on not to have any fighting, not even to retaliate for those who killed their own family members. What happened when these four forbidden months are passed? So kill the polytheists wherever you find them and take them as captives and besiege them and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So if they repent and perform the prayer and bring the legal arms to leave their way free, surely Allah is forgiving, merciful. This is the final word of Allah. There is no such a thing as Muhammad had a covenant with people and those people did not break the covenant. These people did not aid anybody against Muhammad, or these people even reject to help Muhammad to kill others. No. That covenant was only limited and it is broken by the end of the 4 months. I love how Muslim scholars would tell us, Al-Tabari and Ibn Kathir, if there was a covenant made by Muhammad, which was made with some of these people, which was less than 4 months, that's it. That is when that time is over. If you find them, kill them. That is, if they have a covenant for a month or two, you know, just run for your life. Put your wife and your kids on some camel and run for your life. That is exactly what it is. Now, Muslim scholars said, for the people whom Muhammad made a longer covenant than these 4 months, guess what? The covenant will be shortened or limited to these 4 months. In simple words, any covenant longer than 4 months, it will be ended at the end of the 4 months. Says who? Says Allah. Once again, so when the forbidden months are passed, so kill the palaces wherever you find them. Notice here, the war is not about defensive war, it is offensive war. Muhammad and his companions will search for them wherever they find them. Remember, he already told them, travel for 4 months. Run for your life for 4 months. After that, if I catch you, I will kill you. Where? Anywhere. So you better just keep going. The further you go, the better it is. Because if I catch you, I will kill you. Wherever you find them, it means anywhere Muhammad can find them. There's no limited piece of property, Mecca or Medina or Saudi Arabia. No, that is why the Muslims, after Muhammad died, continued to carry on with jihad with the rest of the known world to them. That is all North Africa. That is actually Spain. I mean, you're talking about the East and the West, the North and the South. Literally 57 some Muslim countries came to exist as a result of that command. Wherever you find them, take them as captive, besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. That is, whatever technique you can use to engage in war with those polytheists, that is Christians. Why? As I said in our last program, because Muslims believe we worship three gods, God the Father, God the Mother, God the Son, or as we Christians truly believe, God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. But here is the exception. It is a good news for those who do not want to be killed by the sword of Muhammad. After all, 9-5 is the verse of the sword, no doubt whatsoever. This is what Muslim scholars call it, and that's how Muslims practiced it in the last 1450 years. So, if they repent, once again, what is repent? That is convert to Islam. Not only if they convert Islam, but if they perform the prayer. You can say the Shahada and become Muslim, and you refuse to pray, you will be killed, even if you were born in a Muslim family. Do you know that the punishment of leaving the prayer in Islam is to be put to death? If Muslim will break Sharia, that means you have to be praying 5 times a day. And if you skip one of this prayer, you will be put to death. Add to that and bring the legal alms. You have to give the zakat. That is the money which Muhammad used to take from the Muslims to help the cause of Allah, which we'll be talking about later. So, leave the way free. Yes, indeed. Here is the good news for the Jews and the Christians and the rest of the people of Mecca and the rest of the people of the world. What is the good news? You can be set free. Muhammad and his followers do not have to kill you or to take your wives and your children as concubines and slaves. It is simply convert to Islam. And that is the verse which Allah used in the Quran to abrogate 124 early verses of the Quran. How this verse ended is very beautiful. Surely Allah is forgiving, merciful. Allah is forgiving and Allah is merciful to all the people who will submit Islam and pray the Islamic prayers and give the legal alms. Otherwise, there's no forgiveness and there is no mercy. After all, don't forget, Quran chapter 9 does not start with the opening statement, in the name of Allah, the merciful, the merciful. That attribute of Allah has been abrogated, canceled, erased, deleted for good, except for those who will convert to Islam. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.